Good evening, everyone. I would like to call the Monday, October 14th, 2019 meeting of the University City City Council to order. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Klein?
Present.
Councilmember Carr?
Present.
Councilmember McMahon?
Here.
Councilmember Hales?
Here.
Councilmember Kusick?
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Here.
Mayor Crowell?
Here. Thank you very much. We'll now move on to the approval of the agenda. City Manager Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, I would recommend tabling item J2 to October 28th, 2019, and placing it up under the City Manager's report for that agenda.
Thank you very much. Are there any other changes to the agenda? Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, sir. I would just briefly request to have the Economic Development Strategic Council selection moved to the City Manager's report just for a brief discussion.
Okay, we have, let's do one at a time, please. We have one from Mr. Rose. Is there a motion to amend the agenda for removing Habitat for Humanity until the upcoming meeting? There's some moved by Mr. Hale, seconded by Ms. Carr. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. The item has been tabled till the next meeting. Next item for the agenda is Councilmember Smotherson has asked to move J1, Economic Development Strategic Plan Consultant Selection, from consent to the City Manager's Report. He's made the motion. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Carr. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Therefore, the agenda will be moved, the item will be moved to K. Hearing nothing else, motion that the agenda be approved as amended. By Mr. McMahon, seconded by Ms. Carr. I'm assuming there's not any further discussion on this. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of approving the amended agenda, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. I do not believe we have a proclamation tonight. We have before us the minutes of September 9th, 2019. Is there a motion to approve those minutes? Motion by Mr. McMahon, seconded by Ms. Carr. Any discussion? Ms. Carr.
I'm sorry. These are the general minutes. Is that correct? September 9th. Okay. No.
Okay. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much. You now have before you the September 23rd Joint Study Session LSBD minutes. Is there a motion that they be approved? Motion by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. Kusick. I would ask that there is a Scrivener's error in the minutes that all of the LSBD members were called commissioners, and in fact, they are actually called board members. So we need the minutes to reflect that they are called board members and not commissioners with that error. With that being said, is there a motion that this joint study session minutes be approved? I apologize. Did I already do that? I apologize. I've already done that. Any further discussion? Those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? Oh, sorry. Mr.
And I abstain.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Smotherson abstains. Thank you very much. So now we will move into, I believe, citizen participation.
I can get rid of that for one second, please.
In the citizen participation section of the agenda, each citizen who comes forward to speak has 5 minutes. We have 15 minutes at the beginning of the meeting for non-agenda items, and if we go through that 15 minutes, then the remaining speakers will speak at the end of the council meeting. When you approach the microphone, please give your name and address, and please adhere to the five-minute limit. The first request to speak is Gary Burr. Thank you.
There we go. Okay. Good evening, Council and Mayor. I'm Gary Burr at 750 Kingsland, but I'm here on behalf of the Municipal Commission on Arts and Letters of University City. We want to invite you all to attend our 2019 Tradition of Literary Excellence Award, which is going to take place 7 p.m. October 26th, right in the same room. So if you just hang out here, don't leave, you can be here and you won't miss it. The recipient of this year's award is Howard Schwartz, who's the noted poet, essayist, novelist, editor, and expert on Jewish folklore and mythology. The Tradition of Excellence Award was created in 2014. and we give it to honor the work of a living local author whose literary achievement has won national and international acclaim. We are also that evening going to recognize several others. We're going to recognize the current Youth Poet Laureate of the St. Louis area, I See Me Bookstore, and also we'll be giving an honor to University City High School teacher Catherine Hopkins, who's recently been noted for her work with the students on Shakespeare. And also, finally, a heads up for your calendars, our annual reception for the Returning Artist Award is coming up on Wednesday, November 17th at 7 p.m. This year's returning artist is Christopher J. Watkins, who's a choir and music director, and he's going to work with the students that week, and then you can meet him and hear about his experience that evening in the Pruitt Library. And I think that's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next request to speech, Ms. McQueen, you had something, you were wanting to speak on J2, which is now no longer an agenda item. We can. Am I pulling that request in? Thank you. And then I believe the other two requests to speak. Okay, agenda or not agenda? Okay, so, next request to speak is Aaron Ginsberg. Real quickly, Barb, the Habitat for Humanity item has been pulled from the tonight's agenda. Do you still want to speak on it? Okay, thank you. Aaron?
Honorable Mayor and City Council, my name is Aaron Ginsberg. I live at 430 West Point Court, and tonight I will be addressing feral cats and Washington University. Cats first. UCity TNR has a happy community kitty update. Monty, a former stray and very friendly street cat from UCity, just found his forever home at the Heritage Veterinary Hospital. Local cat advocates hope that one day soon UCity will adopt a TNR ordinance to help control our feral cat population. Both dog and cat owners look forward to the day when UCity welcomes the OpSpot veterinary van to provide low-cost neutering and vaccinations in our community. Now on to WashU. I want to thank City Council for beginning to address the imbalances in WashU's relationship with our municipality. Thank you for correcting UCity's parking allowances. I hope that you can figure out a way to force Washington University to compensate for their tax-free status. Their students benefit from our police, fire protection, infrastructure, and other municipal services at the expense of taxpaying residents. Last but not least, please look into rescinding WashU's Parkview Gardens Plan 2. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next request to speak is Barb Heiss. If you'll push the button at the bottom of the there you go. Thank you.
Thank you. So my name is Barbara Heiss. I live at 6041 Kingsbury Avenue in the city of St. Louis. I used to live in UCity for 30 years, but have moved to the Skinker DeBolivar area. I've been selling real estate for over 35 years. First, I would like to say that Jimmy Carter is one of the few presidents in my lifetime that I admire. I especially admire his association with Habitat for Humanity. When I heard this weekend that University City is preparing to abuse this program by building 7 homes on 1 block of Plymouth in the northeast neighborhood, I was appalled. This area of University City has over 30% of its population living below the poverty level. The racial makeup of the neighborhood is 85% African American, and the elementary school makeup is 98%. There is no shortage of housing in the area. The vacancy rate is 13%, and only 49% of the homes in the neighborhood are owner-occupied. The neighborhood meets all of the characteristics of a distressed area with concentrated poverty. Studies have illustrated that crime and delinquency, education, psychological distress, and various health problems, among many other issues, are affected by neighborhood characteristics. In a recent review of research, studies suggest that the independent impacts of neighborhood poverty rates in encouraging negative outcomes for individuals like crime, school leaving, and duration of poverty spells appear to be nil unless the neighborhood exceeds about 20% poverty, whereupon the externality effects grow rapidly until the neighborhood reaches approximately 40% poverty. And those records, those statistics that I have in here are actually from 2015. I think they are worse at this point with all of the rentals that are happening in the Northeast neighborhood. I lost my spot. Subsequent increases in the poverty population appear to have no marginal effect. Housing values and rents, key indicators of neighborhood decline, show a similar pattern. Using data from the 100 largest U.S. metro areas from 1990 to 2000, the people who did this study, Galster, Kutzinger, and Maliga, find little relationship between neighborhood poverty rates and decline in the neighborhood housing values and rents until poverty exceeds 10%, at which point values decline rapidly before becoming shallower at very high poverty levels. I couldn't pull enough statistics fast enough to give you better information on this. But anyway, adding new housing stock with limited income restrictions, which means low income, which is what Habitat for Humanity is, in an area with 13% vacancy, instead of initiating a policy to rehab the homes that are in decline in the neighborhood, is nothing short of negligent. New housing with income restrictions need to be added towards 1 and 2, if that's what we're interested in doing, where there are opportunities of growth for the poverty who are buying in this these neighbor who are buying Habitat for Humanity houses. Thanks. I've got a copy here of.
Thank you very much. We'll now move forward with the consent agenda. You have before you on the consent agenda items 3 through 9. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented? Motion by Mr. Clay, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll now move to the city manager's report. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor, this first agenda item asks Council to consider the selection of a firm to provide or develop an economic strategic plan for the city. I'm recommending that the City Council approve the award for the Economic Development Strategic Plan preparation to I-5 Group in an amount not to exceed $103,960. And happy to respond to any questions that you have.
Can we first please have a motion for the item? Motion by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Mr. Hales. Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, sir. Thank you, City Manager. Mayor. The question that I have for the City Manager is just simply this. The third company that actually made that presentation, and I can't remember the guy's name, but I think the discussion that we had afterwards was there any consideration for the bringing that company in as part of the I-5 group? And the reason I say that is because I was impressed with I-5 and agree with having them on board because of their familiarity with New City, but also I like the ideal of the future view in reference to that comprehensive plan that that group offered. And just wondered what your thoughts were on that, and that's all.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Smotherson, the way that the proposal was bid was simply for I-5. They did not indicate a desire to have a partnership with that company. I would remind you that we have another project that the company could submit a proposal for, which is the comprehensive plan update. A portion of that project will focus on what is the vision for the city going forward. So that might be an ideal opportunity for them to submit a separate proposal or to partner with a company that is indeed submitting a proposal for the comp plan.
And you've answered my question, and I appreciate the fact that you asked, and I thank you.
Okay, there's a motion and a second before. Is there any other discussion of the Economic Development Strategic Plan consultant selection? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, this next item asks Council to consider a request from Crown Center for Senior Living Plan Development to amend the final approved plan development mixed-use district. It's a one-year extension request. Mr. Cross, any items to present on this item?
As he moves forward, could we have a motion, please, first? Motion by Mr. Cusick, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Thank you.
Good evening. Pretty simple request. The zoning ordinance allows for the opportunity to apply for the one-year extension when you have a plan development that's been approved in the past. Crown Center is going to be seeking some 353 tax abatement in the future. But one thing that has happened, they have not moved forward on the construction phase of the project, which now requires the extension request. There are no proposed changes to the original approved request, so I would be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions from members of council? Ms. Carr.
Thank you. Mr. Cross, can you, or City Manager Rose, can Mr. Cross answer a question?
Yes.
So can you tell me what the 353 Corporation would be specific to this development?
I cannot. Mr. Mulligan is working with them on that, but the 353 Corporation is a partner that will go out and secure the funding. They haven't named it as of yet that I'm aware of. But they are seeking it because as part of the 10-year period for the abatement, that partner becomes basically a for-profit partner, which then would require the abatement of taxes at that point. They would then revert it back to the non-profit entity, which then would be automatically eligible for tax exemption.
Is this area one of the, I believe, 17 or 21 areas listed in the 2005 Comprehensive Plan for tax abatement?
I believe it is.
It is. Okay. And so essentially, because everybody seems to do this, they're going to transfer the property to a for-profit agency to obtain
secured funding. Yeah.
Well, it's not unlike, I guess it would be a federal program.
Correct.
So the abatement wouldn't come from University City necessarily, would it?
The abatement would come from University City, yes.
I see.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think it's because of the current state, to be eligible for the 353, you have to be blighted. So that would be the reasoning to ask for that request.
So we are going to blight the...
They've done a blight study already.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Thank you. The ayes have it. We'll move forward with the city logo.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, this item asks you to discuss and provide direction to staff on the use of the historic logo. On September 12, 2019, the Arts and Letters Commission voted to recommend to the Mayor and Council to restore the historic logo. The initial estimated cost for restoring the historic logo is $20,000. New logos for our vehicles would be phased in, while the entry signs would be a priority for immediate replacement. The following concerns with the current logo were cited: grammatically incorrect, poor color scheme, possible copyright infringement, poor process used to change to the current logo. I concur with the Arts and Letters Commission recommendation to restore the historic logo.
Thank you very much. We have a report from the city manager through Arts and Letters. Is there a, well, are you, you're asking for action or just discussion?
Discussion and direction.
Discussion and direction. I'm not sure necessarily a vote or a vote. Okay. I mean, I'm asking whether I need a motion or can we just have the discussion? That's my question, John. Can we just have the discussion without a motion? I assume we can.
Sure.
Right. To take any action, we would ask for a motion. Mr. Smothersen, you are the liaison to Arts and Letters, as I recall.
Yes, I am. And I just simply wanted to go ahead and make that motion to support and actually take action on the Arts and Letters Commission recommendation.
Okay. There's a motion. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Carr. Ms. Carr, your microphone is on. Yes.
Discussion now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
yes,
thank
ma'am.
You very much, Mayor. I'm sorry. As I remember, the last time Arts and Letters issued a recommendation, it was suppressed, or they weren't allowed to issue a recommendation. And we went forward, the council at the time, went forward with changing the logo, but not even saying so directly. What we did was we embraced a marketing plan by Avent. So I think it is more than appropriate that the Arts and Letters Commission, because of the charge in their code, consider the logo and weigh in on it. And so I'm grateful, Mr. Burr, that your commissioners not only took the time to do this three times over a period of years, but I'm grateful that this time we get to hear from the Arts and Letters Commission. So I would certainly be in favor of their recommendation, a recommendation that I think is not substantially different than they tried to make a few years ago. And so I have no objections.
As a member of council who was seated at that time, I concur with the history of what had occurred, and I appreciate the fact that Arts and Letters took the time. By the way, I appreciate the fact that Mr. Rose also took the time to go to work with Arts and Letters on this. We have a motion and a second. Mr. Hales.
Yes, I just wanted to make a couple of comments. I did go to both of those Arts and Letters, the first two of the three, listen to many of the concerns that are still the concerns. I did have an opportunity a number of years ago to meet Bob Smith, the designer, now the late Bob Smith, who used to live in Parkview. And I've been in graphic branding design for 20-some years now, and really appreciate this kind of stuff. And one of the things that really frustrated me about this change was the lack of standards that accompanied it. I've dealt with and worked with companies like Walgreens and large companies, but also small companies, and they all have a set of branding guidelines. And I had no idea when I met Bob Smith that in 1973, 4, he created this set of really excellent, although I would say now could use some updating, set of branding guidelines that covered everything down to how the trash truck should be branded. The level of thought that went into it was really outstanding. I feel very fortunate to have had the opportunity to have met him. He gave me a copy, one of his own copies of the branding manual, which I keep in my desk. Because it really is just sort of a neat and historic piece of work by a man who is a very, very talented and creative man. So I'm very pleased to restore the logo to what was adopted 35 years ago.
Anyone else? Hearing no further discussion, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We'll now move on to unfinished business. Bill number 9393. Madam Clerk, may we have the second reading?
An ordinance terminating the University City Commission on Human Relations.
May we have the third reading?
An ordinance terminating the University City Commission on Human Relations.
Is there a motion to approve? Motion to approve by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Carr. Discussion. We do have a couple of citizens who would like to speak. I assume we'd like to have the citizens first. Is that all right? I think the first request to speak on this is Patricia McQueen.
Good evening to the University City Council and City Manager. My name is Patricia McQueen, and I live in the Third Ward at 1132 George Street. First, I'm a strong believer in social justice, and I have a feeling that the commission in its current form has not been a strong proponent of social justice. And when I look at the description in Section 3, the first paragraph, I read it, and it sounds good, but it doesn't have any teeth. If I felt like I was discriminated against in housing, in employment, public accommodation, I have nowhere to go. I mean, I go to the website and look, and I have nowhere to go. I took it upon myself to go online to and Google some other cities like Bloomington, Illinois, Champaign, Illinois, Davis, California, and Shreveport, Louisiana. And their human relations commissions have more teeth. They have more direction and focus. I wish that our city had something like that. Because when I look at the current bill that was written in 2011, it really just, you know, mimics what was written back in the other ordinances, which were in 1960 and 1965. And we know what was going on in the 60s. And we were lightweight. Now, we've had put some things in place that made University City a nice place to live. I get that. That's the reason why my mother and my sister and myself moved here. But we didn't move here because of the Human Relations Commission. And I don't think the Human Relations Commission would have helped us if we ran against very overt racism. So I'm open to whatever with this. I'm open to us getting rid of it and starting new and writing an ordinance that has teeth. Or if someone wants to say, table it and let us rewrite it again and put teeth in it, I'm open to that. But I know in its current form, it does not properly reflect University City. It does not protect people. And I'm one of those protected classes, black woman. I've heard terrible things just in the recent months that tells me we have trouble here. Especially with religion, some of the comments I've heard about our Orthodox community that really upset me. I know redlining is still affecting us up in the Third Ward. I know employment, we've had problems with employment. You know, we've had lawsuits, come on. And then some of the things that have come out in political campaigns about sexual orientation is just appalling. So we need something with teeth. And I wrote down some things. It says public accommodations, employment, real estate and housing, financing, trying to get give you information about books and reports. The commission really should be, yes, making you aware of things that are going on nationally and how we can protect ourselves, but we don't even have that. So I'm open to more robust, maybe another study session, maybe, to find out how we could put more teeth into an ordinance from human relations, and maybe even give it a different name. Because human relations, What does that mean? So I'm not going to submit all this. I can write it in a more concise memo to you, but we need to do something. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next request to speak is Gerald Tears.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. First, I have to say I completely agree with Ms. McQueen, and she's made a few points that I was going to make anyway, but I will go through it here. I see that Bill 9393 is on the agenda, abolishing the Human Relations Commission. This is, on the face of it, very bad publicity at the least. When Clayton is establishing a similar commission in the wake of various obvious violations of basic human rights, University City has somehow decided that this matter is of no importance. What a contrast. Perhaps if the city were planning a replacement human rights commission, that would be more relevant than the somewhat ineffective and toothless existing commission. That would be progress. Then we would also expect to see Bill 9395 here tonight, establishing a replacement commission with a more appropriate set of responsibilities. I would be very much in support of updating the commission to be more relevant to current events. Unfortunately, we do not see a bill coming. All we see right here and now is that University City has decided that there is no need for any such commission. Is the idea here that the entire matter of human rights is unimportant? I find it hard to believe, given the current council as constituted up there on the dais, would have this attitude. So I have to assume that is not the case. Now I'm puzzled as to why this is being abolished. Why then abolish the commission with no replacement? It is very appropriate to have a citizen oversight commission of this type. Other local cities have or are now establishing their own. Why is University City choosing to abolish ours at this time or at any time? Why not update it? This action has, I have to say, terrible optics, both to the citizens of U City and to the surrounding larger community. I certainly hope that for once this council will have a meaningfully split vote. I think many will be, as I will be, extremely disappointed if we have another 7-0 block vote. It seems the public debate is unknown in U City, and this is one vote that should have debate. It should not only have a debate, but some meaningful explanation of exactly why the city has chosen to take this action, to explain why, in these times, the city believes such a commission is unneeded and worthy of being discarded. I look forward to the debate and the explanations. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That ends the citizen request to speak. Ms. Carr.
So for those people who haven't been around long enough, I need to give you a little history. I was the first liaison after Mayor Welsh reactivated the Human Relations Commission. They didn't have a mission. They didn't know what they were doing. They were actively seeking a job. And so we spent the first couple of years looking at a mission and essential work. During that period, a transsexual woman came to register a complaint against the former city manager. As a result of that, the city attorney, Catherine Forrester, came to tell them what they could not do. Again, having no mission, not knowing what their job was, it became extremely proscribed. And I think that, that again, the reincarnation of the Human Relations Commission from years ago actually was done without consideration for what the current problems were at the time and what they might be. So some of you may have remembered the asparagus gate. Some of you may have remembered some of the other problems. In fact, I had some personal problems when I was told that I was not allowed to participate in the conversation as a liaison. So so fast forward to what essentially happened last spring was that there seemed to be a mass dissatisfaction with a survey that was essentially put together very quickly. Emails confirm this, without much thought, and approved by someone who didn't have a background in putting together surveys. And at that time, there was a mass, I'm not going to be on the commission any longer. And so we kind of waited, at least I did, waited to see if it wouldn't, if things wouldn't blow over and people would see that there was a need. But what that need was needed to be examined and strengthened. That goes all the way back to 2012 when we were working on the mission. And when it got changed in 2014 because of the complaint. So this is not capricious. This is not arbitrary. This is a reaction to a commission that was largely abandoned by the people who are serving on it, and in my opinion, and that didn't really have a function. They weren't given direction by the council in any meaningful way. And so they took it upon themselves to try to figure that out. And I think if there is a weakness, it was the council at the time for not deciding what their mission and what their duties would be. And there will be other commissions that may be considered. When is the last time the Youth Commission met? And that was largely abandoned by the people who were appointed. And I know that I appointed many people who never showed up. So this is not turning our attention away from existing problems. This is not voting in block. For whatever this is, from my point of view, this is a considered action. Now, whether we decide going forward that we need to have, as Ms. McQueen said, something with teeth in it, really would take, in my opinion, a task force first, and a task force not limited, not limited just to the task force, but to engage the public before we would ever sit down. So suggesting that we should have issued a substitute ordinance without that consideration, I think that should have been done when it was reconstituted, I think would be foolish, and we would come up with the same kind of situation that we face now. So it's not to say that it is not a worthwhile endeavor, because I think it is. I think any time that you have issues and complaints, you need to know that you can go someplace to redress those complaints, but the fact that we are deciding to in a sense to decommission this commission and maybe take a step back at some point, but it has to be done with a needs analysis and citizen engagement. And not a knee-jerk reaction to just, because Clayton is doing it or because Ferguson is doing it or because somebody else. We need to look at what we want and also what the broader, in my opinion, what the broader condition is. And when we come up with something, it will actually be substantive and real. Thank you.
Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mayor, and I'll be brief. I was also a liaison on the commission as well, and for over a year, maybe 2 years, and for a good part of that 2 years, literally the commission was working on a survey to give to residents to tell them what to do. I would go to a meeting, and it was one of the commissions that their meetings lasted. They would start around maybe 7 or 6:30, and I wouldn't get home till after 10 o'clock, and nothing would get done. And we gave them, I tried to give them direction, and the even members of the commission got frustrated and would come up with small projects to say, could we do this? But they just couldn't get on their feet. And I'm not saying that's... It's not a knock on the folks that were there. They're good-hearted people with good intentions of trying to get work done. But as Councilmember Carr said, it goes back to the beginning of what was the charge. And it was really something they couldn't get their hands around because the charge was very amorphous in a sense. And so they didn't know what to do. And they didn't know if it was proper to weigh in on certain things. So they were kind of left frustrated in ways that they wanted to serve but didn't know how. So the question before us tonight isn't whether we support human relations or human rights or civil rights or want to reach out to those in our society that aren't getting the assistance they need or to help people whose voices have been put down. That's not the question before us. And to pose this in a way to say it's a block vote, the question is, do you have a commission in front of you that works? And if the answer is no, the answer is no. To add a subsequent question on that to somehow make it sound like there's another question here, that's just not there. The question is, do we have what we have? Is it working? Is there a point to it? Should we continue on in that direction? If the answer is no, the answer is no. And if the members of council agree on that, they agree on it. That's a simple way to look at it. To throw another question on that, it's not before our body tonight, but I would venture to say that everybody here is committed to those rights of people in our community. And to suggest otherwise is really, I just don't think it holds water. That would be my view. But it just became a commission that had no direction. And they were frustrated, the people I saw there. And so it doesn't serve us well to have our citizens volunteer to spend their time and effort and really get no results. So we have to admit that it wasn't an effort that was worth saving.
Mr. Clay.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Crow. My support of the dissolution of the commission is less historical and more practical. I believe, according to the website, that this was a commission that was supposed to meet quarterly, UCity website, quarterly. I've seen some documentation that said monthly. Either way, they've not met in over a year by their own choice. So the question in my mind is, I understand that there was some controversy surrounding the survey, but if this commission was in fact doing needed work, and to echo the view of my colleagues, I think there is needed work. Were there not other things that they could have met about, and could they not have addressed them? So my concern is the members elected not to meet, and so I'm not sure what can be done to make that commission effective if the members themselves are electing not to meet. So I don't have the history. I don't have the context. I just know they haven't met in a year.
Mr. Smotherson.
And just a quick point. You've heard from former council liaisons, and I wanted to say that I am the current council liaison and was absolute witness to the decision that they made to not meet. And so I am absolutely in agreement with this council in reference to this ordinance. But what I really want to say this is to the people that spoke tonight, I'm looking forward to your input and everyone's input in what that new mission will be and what the defined purpose of that commission is, because as Councilmember Carr stated, there was never a defined purpose for that commission, and they were completely lost. So again, I'm in agreement with this and hoping and looking forward to when we can sit down and put this back together and have this as a functioning commission for the city. Thank you.
You know, there was a long time ago now when I couldn't sit here and say that I was part of the history of this because I was the new kid on the block. But that time is long gone, and I am a part of the history of this, and I've been here longer than I think anybody else on the council. And I remember when it was introduced. I think we all do. And I think that we've got to come back to the true premise that this was not thought through when it was originally created. And it is what it is, and we need to go ahead and move forward. It is interesting, though, that this has always been a human relations commission, yet when I've met with a few citizens, they always swing it to human rights. And really, this is a human relations commission. I also want to take a moment and thank the people, particularly from Christ the King, their social justice committee, who called and said, can we come sit in your office and just understand, because they said some of the same things that some of our citizens have said. How does this work? What would happen? What should be done? And we walked through some of the things that Councilmember Carr spoke about, and I asked their opinion as to what we should do moving forward. And I looked at all three of them, and I said, which of you would like to start this? How would you like to move this forward? And so I come back to Councilmember Smotherson's comment and say to all of you who have concerns about this, if you would like to work on this and move this forward, if you would like to spend time talking about it, I am happy to spend time with you. But most of the, we've only had five people, two here and then three outside, make outreach to me saying that this is a concern of theirs. So if there is a greater concern, it has not evidenced itself. And part of that is because I think in University City, I think we have a pretty strong commitment to not only a high quality of life for our residents, but we also provide many forums for our citizens to get information from us, to hear from us, and to speak to us. Whether you agreed or disagreed with the decision of the TIF Commission, there's never been in St. Louis County as much public input sought or given during a TIF than during ours. Everybody had the opportunity to speak. They had the opportunity to be heard. It does not mean that everyone agreed with the positions that they took, but everyone got an opportunity to speak. So I do want to make sure that, to me, the most important aspect of this is I do think our city administration does an excellent job of getting information out, and I think we're trying to always get better. We have folks now who aren't here, but they're watching us at home because this is being streamed. I think that in a city that is the fourth largest in St. Louis County with a population of 34,000, you've got seven members of council here who are accessible. I hope we are always accessible, and I want to end where I began, and that is that if the people of University City would like to see a reconstituted Human Relations Commission, work on it, come up with some drafts, bring it, and if it makes sense, it looks like it's in the, we'll call it the appropriate format moving forward, I will be the one to ask my colleagues to talk about it again. But there has to be a level of involvement from our citizens that say, we need this and we want this, because clearly what we have right now isn't working. And if we had not put this on the agenda to abolish it, no one would have come out to speak, and no one would be saying we can do better and do this another way. So I believe if you look at everybody up on this dais right now, we are ready, willing, and able to listen to and move forward with an improved Human Relations Commission or something like that. However, it's incumbent upon the people in this room to bring it forward to us. Thank you. Any other comments? Hearing none, we've had a second reading, a third reading, a motion, and a second. We've had public comment and discussion. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll on bill number 93?
Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Mayor Crow?
Aye. Thank you. The bill has passed. We'll now move forward to new business. We have no resolutions before the body. Who would like to introduce bill number 9394? Mr. McMahon, may we have the first reading of bill number 9394?
An ordinance relating to pit bull dogs.
That was a quick read. Thank you very much. Anything under agenda, council reports, and business? Mr. Smotherson.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor. Very quickly, I wanted to thank Gary for being here tonight and making an announcement about the literary event and award that's happening whatever date he stated. I don't have it in front of me. But again, I wanted to make the council aware that I think these are very important events, and especially the literary event is absolutely great, and I think it's going to be a good event this year. Also, the returning artists event. The last thing that I want to do is also, I want to, now that it is official, I want to thank the members of the Human Relations Commission for their service, and I want to make that absolutely positively official in that they were volunteers and they volunteered their times, and we appreciate that, and I just want to make sure that was known. The last thing that I wanted to comment on is that I did attend the Municipal League Conference, and I've left some tidbits on the desk in front of each council member that I thought was appropriate. For instance, I left some teas for Stacy Clay, hand sanitizers, and little notes for Councilman Carr, for Councilman McMahon. I left a little toy for you, and I think I left something for Councilman Hales that I thought was appropriate for his rehab work. And also with Councilman Cusick and our mayor. So I just wanted to make sure you were aware that you got those. And that's it. Thank you.
Well, he didn't tell you that he got me a stress ball, so I'm not sure exactly what that means. But thank you for thinking of us. There are no other citizen requests to speak. To my colleagues, council comments from anyone. Mr. Smotherson, you're Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Mayor. Just briefly, I just wanted to thank the students and the faculty at the school district that invited us to, as council members and staff, to participate in the homecoming parade. That was just recently. We had a really good time of marching in the parade, shaking hands, tossing out some candy to the kids that line the streets, and just meeting with the people out there and showing support for the students and the faculty there at the school district on their homecoming time, and also actually getting to meet some residents and hearing some of their complaints as we walked down the street. It was always nice to hear that as well, but some were supportive, and they've got their issues that they want us to address, and they could show us right then and there, cut these vines down, and so we're working on those kind of things. But it was a good time that we had by all, and I appreciated the invite from Chris Blumenhorst, who used to work at the Lieberman Center, and he asked us to do that, and I was glad that we could all participate in that endeavor. Thank you.
Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to talk about the Loop Trolley for just a moment. I think we are all dismayed and saddened by the recent letter from the Loop Trolley Company, John Meyer, stating that if they didn't have an additional $200,000 within the next month, that they would not be able to continue operating, and then another $500,000 for their operation for fiscal year next year. I want to say a couple of things about this, that I think that and one of the letter that he sent out, he mentioned some of the effects of the trolley, and that his letter said, contrary to critics, the real estate investment and retail businesses have prospered along the path of the trolley. I'd like for him to demonstrate how that happened and how that
how he says that that can be so. He also says that, according to investors, that the trolley is a key element in their decision to invest in the projects along Delmar and DeBolivar, and I'd like for him to qualify that as well. And then finally, he says that the sales tax revenues along Delmar and DeBolivar have grown steadily. And I think that we have actually seen a decrease in the revenues through the University City Del Mar Loop, that it's down to about 17%, and in the past years it's been up to 20%. I'd also like to remind everyone that this is an organization that in 2007, the EDRST and consequently University City and our taxpayers paid $250,000 for a loop feasibility study. Even before the project was begun to look at the feasibility of this project. And then there was an additional tax passed that was an 80% of a 1% sales tax that is levied against all the businesses along the loop trolley. The trolley itself received grants, a $25 million grant, but to date they've received mostly in taxpayers' dollars $51.5 million. $51.5 million, most tax dollars, state and federal tax dollars, to get the loop trolley up and running, and they've been up and running only partially, and in 10 months, now they're coming to us and telling us that they're not going to be able to continue operating without these additional funds. For starters, I don't think that University City should come up with another penny. As well, I believe that the city of St. Louis has said, no, they're not going to pay anything. And then in today's paper, the St. Louis County Council has announced that they would not be bringing it up on their agenda and their meeting tomorrow, so that the money will not be coming. So it sounds like maybe the loop trolley may be shutting down. My question is, how can an agency spend $51.5 million and fail within 10 months? I think that this needs to be investigated, and to that end, I am going to be submitting to the council a request that it be an agenda item in 2 weeks from them, and it's going to be seconded by Councilmember Carr, that we could officially look into asking the federal government to investigate this through the Federal Transportation Administration to see how this could have happened. Certainly, it may not be the responsibility of University City to do something like this, but I don't hear any other governmental body or any other agency coming forward to look into this. And again, it comes back to $51.5 million for something to operate and fail within 10 months. Thank you.
Any other requests to speak? Mr. Hales.
Thank you. Two things I wanted to touch on. One was related to a comment from earlier relative to voting in a block. We've heard that term in these chambers over the years. Many of us knew what that looked like, whether it was 4-3 or 5-2. Of course, I knew what that looked like from sitting over there. I just want to make sure that everyone understands the difference that exists today. I'm actually very pleased that we tend to see eye to eye much more on issues than we don't. But when we don't, it's respectful. That's a huge change. Secondly, what is different is the man sitting in the chair next to Councilman McMahon. Years ago, it was different. I can tell everyone in this room that we all have the same access to him. He answers all of our questions. He takes our calls. He calls us back. If we have a question on what's in the packet, he'll go through it with us. That is vastly different. That is the leadership that this city has needed for some time, and I am so pleased that he is here and so pleased that he treats all of us, regardless of where we fall on an issue, with respect and equally. So thank you. Separately, I've talked to the mayor about this. I've talked to the city manager about this. A couple weeks ago on Tuesday, it was the Tuesday concluding Rosh Hashanah, I had to go get yard waste stickers from Walgreens, and I went out west on Del Mar. And it was about 6:30-ish. And as I go down Del Mar, I'm always aware of the crosswalks because I was on the Traffic Commission for 5 years, and this was a major issue that we have these crosswalks on Del Mar and also on North and South, which were four-lane roads, very busy, very dangerous. A number of people have been killed over the years. And so I'm always very cautious as I approach the crosswalks, and I approached the crosswalk at Young Israel heading west, and I was in the left lane. And there was a woman who was on the south side of Del Mar, and she was trying to cross. She was in the sort of parking lane. There was not a car in the parking lane in front of her, and she was trying to make her way into the crosswalk and across Del Mar. So I stopped going westbound, and I saw no fewer than four cars going eastbound. Didn't even slow down, just straight through. And she watched. She was cautious. She waited for them to pass. She made eye contact with me. I made eye contact with her, and she began to cross. Now, there was nobody beside me, and there was nobody behind me. As I sat there and watched her cross, I was also looking in my rearview mirror. And within a few seconds, a car came speeding over the crest of the hill behind me in the right lane next to me. And as it's barreling down, I mean, clearly speeding. I mean, you know when there's a car barreling up behind you. And I'm watching her in front of me as she's beginning to get to my car in front of me, and I'm watching this car bearing down on her. Now, I drive a big car. There is no way that she would have been able to see that car, and that car was not concerned about my being stopped at a marked crosswalk in the middle of, you know, no traffic. And it was one of those moments where there's you see what's about to happen in the blink of an eye. And that car was not going to stop, and I was terrified at the prospect that she might not, that she might just keep going and not think that this car was actually coming. And I pulled my car across the lane. When I did that, the car finally hit its brakes. I kind of gripped my steering wheel, anticipating I might get hit. And as he went around me, crossing the double yellow line, he started honking at me, "How dare I do that?" So, two things. Part of this is really a plea to everyone in here and everybody who might listen or watch this. Please, please be observant of the crosswalks and the people, our neighbors, who are trying to use them. It absolutely shook me, and it still shakes me to think about it. To that end, I will be in the next meeting. I plan to write a letter to our two county council people, Rita Days and Lisa Clancy, as well as copy the rest of the council. I would like in the next meeting to submit that to my colleagues and would like all of us to sign on to that. It is time that St. Louis County address this issue. I've talked to a number of members of the Orthodox community. We have, for a number of years, talked about the challenges with that and what wouldn't work. We need to find a solution that does work and works for everyone, because we are, at any moment, any holiday, any weekend, Sabbath, there could be a catastrophic loss for someone in their family in our community. So with that, I hope that you will all consider endorsing and signing this letter, and I'm certainly open to feedback as I send a draft at some point before the meeting. Thank you.
Anyone else? Hearing nothing, I would welcome a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions and personnel. Is there a motion? Motion by Ms. Carr, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Mayor Crowe?
Aye. Thank you very much for attending this evening.